I am Barbara Summers. This is an interview with Joyce Green for the Arkansas Extension Homemakers Council Oral History Program. This is being done November the 30th, 2011 in Mountain Home, Arkansas at 20626 East First Avenue for Baxter. The audio recordings and transcript of this interview will be donated to the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History at the University of Arkansas. The recording, transcript, and any other related materials will be deposited and preserved forever in the Special Collections Department, University of Arkansas Libraries, Fayetteville. And the copyright will be solely to the University of Arkansas. Are you willing to give the Pryor Center permission to make the audio file and transcript available to others?
Yes.
First, I'd like to give you to give your complete legal name and spell it for me, and then tell me the city and county in which you presently reside.
Joyce LaFay Green, J O Y C E, Joyce L A F A Y, LaFay Green, G R E E N.
And you reside?
In Baxter County.
In the town?
Mountain Home.
Okay. What has been your association with the Extension Homemakers Program? You're a member, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. How did you learn about the Extension Homemakers Program?
Well, I started the 4-H when I was still in grade school, and that kind of got me going. And then I graduated from high school, went to college, got married, and there was still no club available for me. And so in 51, we moved to Little Rock, and where my husband's job was. And then I stayed home with the children, and no club was available yet there. I did work in the church and the community. And in 1955, we moved over into the Medicliff edition of Little Rock. And I had a first cousin that lived there too. And she had seen some of the work the EAC had done in different areas and around Pulaski County there. Her husband was an insurance man. And so she said, how would you like to start an EAC club? And I said, I'm all for it. And I couldn't keep my mouth shut. And so she called the Miss, I think her name was Yusuf Oles, who was the county extension office person there then. And she came out to our house, and we asked some of the women around, and town is around our area because it's a big housing development. And so on the day that we were there, we organized a club, got officers, and then met the next month as a full-fledged club. The home economist at that time gave all the lessons. If they needed props, she brought them with you too. And then later on, they got to where they would call one in from each club to give the lesson, and then you pass it on. Well, some of the clubs were very prompt about getting the props and all back, so that kind of went by the wayside. And now then, we get lessons through the computer and on different subjects. And we moved out of that house in 1960, and I continued to go back over to Jacksonville, Arkansas, where they're putting in a missile base. My husband was with the Corps of Engineers that did the electric work there. And so I kept driving back and forth to go to club meeting in Little Rock. And then on May 20, 1963, we moved to Baxter County, Mountain Home, Arkansas. Before then, we had made a couple of trips up here to look the job over and everything, and we decided we could make a go of it here. So we went by and saw the church and the stores and all, and I thought, well, having come from Little Rock, I guess I can get enough food bought to feed the family. And I was sure they could have had to go to school without any clothes because they wouldn't have JCPenney there. But it, whenever he came on while the kids were still in school and started to work. So whenever we got moved in May, why, he brought home a Baxter Bulletin, which the Baxter Bulletin at that time was near their office building. And it was a weekly magazine, newspaper then. And I was reading the news, and I saw where they were going to have a meeting. They were going to have it at Marguerite Jones's house on 16th Street, which is now our, where's that home they have for children, for a half a foot?
For the homeless women?
No. It's like a assisted living place. It's gone. It's down there.
Okay.
And so I didn't know one street from the other when we came here. So my husband drove me down there. He'd been here longer than I had. So he drove me down there and showed me where the house was. And so I didn't know anyone in town at all when I moved here. Of course, that was just one of many times. So I went in that day to her house, the club was there, and there sat about, close to 20 people in that club. And when I walked in, everybody looked at me and thought, where did she drop out from? So I introduced myself. The county council president came with me, was out of that club. She came over and introduced herself, and I introduced myself. She took me around and introduced me to everybody. So
what was the name of that club?
It was still Hilltop.
Okay.
And I've owned it for 49 years.
Okay.
I'm the only one that's left that was there when I was. Arlene is the next one, the oldest one there. But everybody else is gone or died or get out. Marguerite is still alive, but she's in a assisted living home somewhere. Monroe House is the name of that place. It wouldn't come anywhere. Anyway, we had that meeting, and then I came to two or three other meetings. And so Thelma Gregg was the county council president then. She says, I need somebody to help in the kitchen. And I said, I've never done that. So she said, well, if you're willing to do it, well, I'll meet you down here on the day the fair opened. So I got the car and I drove down there, and she was standing in the door. So she came out and greeted me, got me out of the car and took me in and introduced me to Willardine. And that was the first time I knew Willardine as such. I mean, she was a group of people. And so she said, I told Willardine, I said, I don't know anything about this. You're going to have to tell me everything that is done because I don't know anything about it. And so she did a good job, I guess, because she kept me on all that. And so we worked in the kitchen at the old building that the tornado blew away until we got the new one. And by that time, we had made enough money that we bought two refrigerators, two stoves, and what else? Well, that's good enough for the kitchen, the new kitchen there. Since then, the fair board has bought, replaced those things, but the first ones were put in there for EHC. And Willardine and I were called on to do the shopping. And so we were kind of used to that by then because she taught me how to buy for the kitchen, how much hamburger meat, how much this, how much that we need. And what she didn't tell you in hers was we had a little refrigerator that maybe 4 feet high.
It's also small.
And then maybe 24 inches wide. And the ladies that brought the pies We tried to keep the cream pies in under refrigeration as best we could. But we had one lady that brought her cows to the fair, and so she always milked her cow every morning, and so she brought her milk over there, which really did tighten up the space for us to put that.
I'm assuming you didn't have air conditioning, right?
We hardly had electricity. No air conditioning. We didn't have air conditioning until we got up to... Didn't even have a fan, you're right. We didn't even have a fan. But the tornado, in one way, did us a favor, in as much as that it took away the old building, which wasn't nearly as good as the new building was, because they built us a nice new building. Had a work table in the middle,
yeah,
where people could get around it and work. Before, there was hardly room for two people back there. But at that time, the clubs donated the pies. Each club was responsible for three pies.
As many as they could get in the bag.
And then, about that same time we moved up there, the health department decided that it wasn't healthy enough for us to serve those pies that came out of the home. And so they made us start in doing otherwise. But all that time that we had that kitchen, there wasn't anybody ever got sick. And so we must have done a pretty fair job of keeping people from getting fat.
What did you charge for a slice of pie? Do you remember?
$0.35,
I think, right. And we cut the pie in six slices. And we were up there by the cattle barn, and all those people that brought their cattle and all, we smell all that stuff of cooking and all. We had a good business there. We never did have a business that good when we moved down the other building.
Yeah. A lot of people come, especially to get sloppy clothes. They have a good recipe.
Yeah, we had a good recipe, but they didn't decide that wasn't good enough, so they changed it. And what Will Dean did tell you a while ago about the cooking utensils, she had all her, she brought spoons, pots, pans, serving dishes, cups, saucers, everything we used. And at that time, they had to wash all those dishes because it wasn't any plastic or paper. And so it took one person that came to the club about a full-time job of washing dishes. And we had we first started with just one hot plate. They just had one burner in it. Had two burners. So we had a hot water tea kettle over here with boiling water, and over here we had our sloppy joes going, and then we'd scoot this one off and put our ham hot dogs on it and warm it up so that we could serve the hot dogs. In there somewhere, we got another stove that was had a little bit more to it than that, and we done better. But how we got the dishes is what we scalded them. We put a pan of water, and then we put a tablespoon of bleach or a teaspoon of bleach in it, and then rinsed it in hot water, and somebody dried them. And then what we did after I got here in Baxter County, while I was in the club I organized and helped organize and a charter member in Pulaski County, when I moved up here, we were more into, in Pulaski County, we were more into cooking and some of the smaller things. When we moved up here, we had a home economist that was really a go-getter. And so we got into making we had lessons on upholstering furniture, making shades. making drapes. And one of the most unique things that I think I've ever come across in my time was that she taught each one of us to make us a pair of pants that fit just us. She took this pattern, you had a basic pattern, and then she took this pattern and she, if you had more back here than somebody else, she added to it. If you had more here than somebody else, or down here, she, and the way she did that, she took the paper pattern that we had and she'd make a slit in it. And if it needed to be wide, she'd pull it out. If it had to be took in, she'd put a piece of tape on it. And it was quite a show when we go down there to make that. We were in the fair building, and it was quite a show to see all those gals running around there in their petticoats and underwear and all changing. But we had lots of fun. Hard work, but lots of fun. And the hardest thing we ever had to do was upholstery. I never did learn to do very good at upholstery. But she'd call me in Willardine, we'd go to whatever place she had scheduled to teach that upholstery. And then she taught how to make pull drapes. And then she taught how to make just plain curtains. And then the pants I was telling you about. That's, and then she also taught us another thing that I thought was kind of unique, is that she took that's when double knit just come in. And she took a piece of double knit and she folded it and made a skirt out of it. You had one seam in the back. And then on the front top you put elastic, and then on the bottom you took and hemmed it with what is that sticks to the Velcro? No, it wasn't called Velcro, was it?
No,
what? What?
Stitch
witchery.
Stitch witchery.
Okay, you cut the length you wanted your skirt to be,
mm-hmm.
And the hem, you cut that to so it would be at least an inch, so it wouldn't ravel out in time,
mm-hmm.
And you hemmed it with a hot iron.
Yeah.
Went around it. And
what was her name? What was the agent's name?
Wilma Wilbur. Then after that, we got Nina Sue Coffey.
Mm-hmm.
She was from Fayetteville. And we helped her raise two children. Mm-hmm. And she got us on more modern stuff, huh?
29 years.
29 years she was here. And Willardine and I were on the board that helped hire her. Select her, I guess was a good way to say it.
Yeah.
And then she got eligible to retire, and we didn't care for her retiring because she'd earned it. And
mm-hmm.
Then we got another one that changed things still yet. Got another one, changed things again. And then got another one, and she didn't stay very long, and now we're scheduled to get another one. So I'm sure we're in for another change, which change is good if it's for the better. And we also have tried to get younger people involved in clubs. We've made two or three extensive efforts. And the ladies that are younger have to help make a living. And they, when they get home, they still got laundry to do and cleaning to do and kids to bathe and put to bed and all. So they don't have time for a meeting. And we tried giving them some quick recipes that they could help themselves. But it was much easier to come by McDonald's and get a bag of hamburgers because they'd worked all day. And I can understand that. But it's always just flitter. We never did get done.
Mm-hmm.
And we still don't have. I guess the youngest one we got in our club now is about 62 or 3, right?
I don't know. They're all old. Retired.
That's my daughter. And I think she's 63.
You know her age.
I suppose she's 63, so I think that's about the youngest one in there.
Yeah,
huh?
I think so.
So we've just kind of, and then we've gone into computers and how to prepare your will and how to set up finances for a deceased mate and all. And all of that is very valuable, and it's come in very, very handy. But a lot of people weren't interested in that too, as well as other things. So we about quit the cooking and the sewing. But in our club, we have a workshop most every month, and that keeps our girls coming because they all love to come and make things and take something home that they made.
I like that too.
You like that too?
Yeah, it's one of the most fun things to do. Yeah.
Well, we don't do that like we used to do. We used to do a whole lot of that. I think that's. Now, what else you need to know since I've been talking all day?
That's okay. You did really well. I don't have to ask you about most of these questions. I do want to ask you, you are a club member now.
Yes.
And you belong to?
Hilltop EHC.
And it's in what county?
Baxter County.
In the Ozark District, correct?
Right.
Okay. Do you have any special memories? Oh, of the first meeting or the first club that you ever went to? You kind of went through that already.
Yeah, I helped, like I said, organize a charter member of the Medicliff Club, which was something I had never gone through before. And then when I got here, it was everybody was strangers. But I've got a lot of good friends and made a lot of good friends. And at that time, when you was county council president, the home economist, if you had 15 clubs in the county, she made all 15 of them and taught the lessons. And she always took Willardine and I with her a lot. So we got to meet a lot of people and do a lot of things. And one time I thought we was going to get killed. We went over to Big Flat, and it was deer open inside. You remember that,
yes.
Don't you? And we went to this woman's house, and Wilbur, somebody, I don't know how she found out that they was not eating well enough. And so she told her the only thing that was anyway come to be derogative I've ever heard come out of her mouth. She told this lady, said, you know what that old man likes, you cook it and put it on the table. So we left her with some literature, and then she offered, but they at that time they was raising chickens for camel soup.
Tyson.
And so she, they had just loaded out chickens, and they had, if they had 300 chickens, and they always give them extras to feed to those that die. Well, she had extra chickens, so she wanted us to stay, and she was going to fry some chicken. And we told her, no, we didn't come to eat. We got out of there.
Didn't think she was going to cook right, huh?
But and when we always said, whenever we went to Big Flat, we went all over the world. If you've never been to Big Flat, you hadn't been all over the world.
That it, you think?
Yeah, I got a lot of memories.
Oh. And they're mostly good, too, it sounds like.
Yeah, and you was asking about going to state meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I've been to state meetings, several of them. And after they quit having them in Little Rock, they started having them on the state college campus. And there were some of them upstairs and downstairs. And so they did that for quite a while, but then our ladies, like myself, got older and couldn't take a lot of that stairs, so they quit doing that. Now they're going down Hot Springs to that convention center thing.
Mm-hmm. There's still a lot of walking down there, though.
Yeah, but not near like it was when you had to go upstairs, because you had to go down and eat the cafeteria and go up there and go to bed. And
are you thinking about trying to go this next time?
Oh, heavens, no, I can't set up more than 3 hours at a time. I'm on my back.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll miss you. We'll make sure that they remember you there, though.
I hope they don't tell any of this down there, because I've been in so many different counties.
Finally found a county that would keep you, huh?
So no, they didn't have clubs, but I got acquainted with some of the people there after they started clubs.
And the only other question I wanted to ask you is, what Extension Homemakers taught you about, if anything, about people?
I have found that most people will treat you the way you treat them. If you're nice to them, they'll be nice to you. And I've never had a problem with getting along with people. I taught school, and I worked a lot of church organizations, and I worked a lot of community organizations, and I've never had a problem getting along with people. And I have very, very careful to never say they work for me, I'd say we work together.
That's right. Thank you very much. This has been wonderful.